be new that I've learned. So, oh yeah, there they are. Starting on the oldest is in the gray. That's Stefan. And when we left here, how old was Stefan? Eight. So it's weird. Your kids get bigger than you. So he's taller. And then all the way over with the kind of strap is Caleb. And it's interesting just because the beach is kind of sloping and he's down a bit, but he's just as big as Stefan. So Stefan's 17, Caleb is 15, and then Abby is our girl in the green there on the left, and she is 13. And then it goes Gabriel on the right, and he's a little upset because he feels he's short. but he's going to grow, right? Gabriel is 12, and then it goes Lizzie, and she's in the bright neon lettered shirt there beside Amy, and Lizzie is 9, and then Liam there, Liam's before Lizzie, yep. He's sporting his American colors there, and he's almost 11. Thank you, Amy. Don't ask me birthdays, but it is Liam's birthday in 4 days, so I do know that. And then it goes to Miriam, and I call her, she's the little Amy there right in the middle, and Miriam is 7, followed by Buzz, he's 5, or Nathaniel. My oldest son gives everyone nicknames, so some I can repeat and some I can't, but we just started calling, everyone calls him Buzz. I have no idea why. We just started calling him Buzz almost since he was born, but his real name is Nathaniel, and then Joy, who's the only one who wanted to come today. She's in the back. I was telling everyone that she was 3 the last couple of days, but Amy corrected me last night. She's 4. So that's Joy, and there they are. That was actually in Cape May last summer, so they're a little bit bigger now, but that's the only recent photo I could find. But yeah, there they are. So I said last night, 10 practical things, just spiritual things that God has shown me just to go through. And they're not in any order, and they are some maybe just a little in-depth in what God showed me about them that you might have heard last night. So if you have a pen, just 10 things, or maybe there's just one that strikes you, that's fine. Maybe you really know them all, and I'm like, we're not experts here. This is just from what God has shown us, and I just want to make sure we are learning in our parenting still, and we just make mistake after mistake and just thankful for God's grace. So, and we left here last night saying, we really don't know what we're doing other than just trying to do the right thing, but make many mistakes. So, the first one, which I mentioned last night, I just want to expand upon though, is praying for your kids. And that's a pretty obvious one, but I want to add in fasting, to pray and fast for your kids because they do have free will. And I've learned that it can't be like the general, like, yeah, just help them, God. You know, like, be, if you can, specific because you know your kids and talk to them and understanding what they're struggling with. And even if they're babies, Lord, help them to sleep. I can remember when they were in the womb, just asking God. I would think of John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit since he was in the womb. I said, Lord, just would you even now just fill them with your Spirit, you know? Would you plan their life in a sense that they would follow after you? And last night that, you know, the fear sometimes, and that began when they started getting a little older, my last years here, that would strike me that I never wanted to be separated for eternity from my kids, really kind of drove me to my knees. But then it started me fasting, and I'm not like a great faster, to be honest. Like, I'm not talking a 3-day fast or a full, like, oh, you know, I just try to do breakfast and lunch like once a week, and then I'll eat supper kind of thing. And now Amy and I do it together. And it's not only about the kids, but I remember it started for the kids. And that's when I was working at Calvary Academy. And I would just walk around the gym if I had a spare and just say, Lord, you know each one. And as well as other things in your life. But a lot of the times, and it's not every week, but there's this idea that we want to solely say, God, please, you know. And then try to specifically, what's going on in their lives. So you think the older ones have different struggles than the younger ones. Or even if they're 2 or 3, you can be thinking of future mates. Like, that's something we pray for already, especially for our girls, as men who will love Jesus, you know. Because you don't know out there in the choice. And the Lord's Prayer comes to my mind sometimes when I pray for the kids, that God would lead them not into temptation and protect them from evil. There is so much evil out there. Lord, would you please protect them? You know, I don't know what's going to happen, not this year, 10 years from now, but if you have a baby, what a great practice to start already in praying and fasting for your kids and giving them to the Lord. And I would just say, you know, I've always learned about prayer. You can throw gravel at a person, and I heard this illustration with prayer, and it won't hurt, but if you get a rock and you hit him in the head, and I always thought that with prayer, if you can specifically nail down, like I can tell you for Stefan, I think Amy and I, one of the things we constantly pray is, Lord, soften his heart, because he's into music now. And I don't know if I mentioned this last night, but his first song he wrote, because we didn't even really know he was singing, to tell you the truth, because he would never sing, and all of a sudden he's starting to sing because he has a friend who sings. And then he started writing lyrics, and the first time we heard his first song, we were like, wow, that's what you're thinking. You know, because we didn't have a clue what he was. He's not like a very expressive young man. He's not going to have a deep conversation. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the Bill Cosby skit. He basically, how you doing? Maybe a few more words, but not much. But then he started writing and started seeing his heart a bit, which we both thought the first part of the song was about us. We were like, he's like, I can't please you. Your expectations are too great. And we were like, that's us. And Amy was like, is that you, Dan? I was like, no, that was you. Aha. But the whole song was he couldn't look at himself. That's what he was writing. And he's saying, set me free. But for him, we pray for a soft heart because he's just really pragmatic, logical, and he's tough on his siblings. So that's one thing we pray, you know, like, just make him soft, you know. And not that he isn't, but sometimes we have trouble seeing it. And then so, you know, you down the next one. And I know kind of with Caleb specifically, because he's in his older brother's shadow, Lord, give him confidence, you know. I'll help him to have something, because Stefan is quite good at a lot of things. And I believe Caleb is, but it's not the things that everyone would compliment him for. So help him to find something he can grasp onto and have confidence in you with. And you know your kids as they grow up, as, you know, maybe not, but 3 or 4, there's things that come out, or if they're having a tough week, because there's phases in raising kids, right? Like you got, they're in their 2s and wow, this is tough. Lord, don't help them, help me, you know. Because when we get to Nathaniel and Joy, for me, it's like, Lord, help us not to be tired training them. Yeah, because Stefan always says to us, man, you disciplined us for everything. You don't do anything for the little kids now. And say, oh, Lord, give us strength. We're getting tired, you know. Like, and so just be specific in your prayer. And there's one thing, when I had that fear, because the uncertainty of the future, and remember, God is so faithful in your scripture reading to give you promises. Do you believe that? And I can remember praying and God, Isaiah 44 was a real blessing for me. And I'll just read the first five verses. It says, "And hear now, Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I've chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants." And when I read that, I just said, I want to be a thirsty parent. I want to be thirsty for Jesus, kind of what I sang last night. Because he's saying the blessing will be on my descendants, right? I will pour blessing on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. And one will say, I am the Lord's. And another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord, and name himself by the name of Israel. And for me, it was almost like God, I wrote in my journal, that was a promise. You be thirsty for me, and I will bless your kids. And that was like a ray of light, I think, when God gave me that. And that's what I cling to when you're really uncertain and you're really questioning is they, you know, whatever stage, and as you get older and older and you're praying and anxiousness comes in, you know, and just asking the Lord. And that word, I think, came from a day, you know, just praying for the kids. And even the normal reading came the promise, you know, and that's what I cling to. And there's going to be rough times, right? There's going to be tough times. And one might, heaven forbid, walk away from the Lord for a while. I pray not, you know, but I got to keep trusting God's word. And I got to keep praying. And we got to keep fasting. And I really believe fasting is a forgotten principle, but something that we're called to do. It doesn't say in Matthew, if you fast, it says when you fast. This is how you're supposed to act. It doesn't say like if. And I would encourage you, a regular habit in your life, whether it's just a meal or two, or something that would detach you from this world to attach you to eternity, is a quote that I read for Bible study the other day. And I love that because I'm detaching myself from the world to think of eternity and a desire for my kids. And I would encourage you guys, if it's once every 2 weeks, once a month, once a week, do that and say, Lord, I'm giving to you, them to you afresh and again. So number one, pray for your kids, but specifically with fasting, looking for God's promises. Number two, which I talked about last night, and I don't want to spend too much time on them today, is lead by example. And that was the living the truth. And for me, I grew up in a Christian family, and one of the greatest examples I had in my life, every morning I got up to go to school, and my room was in the basement, and my dad had a brown leather recliner from IKEA, and I would see him on his knees or reading his Bible every morning I got up for school. That impacted me forever. He didn't have to say anything, but that was his time with the Lord, and I saw it every day or almost every day, and it really changed me. And see, that little example. My dad was very busy. Like, he worked hard. He was an engineer. My dad wasn't like one of these dads who had this. He never came to any. He had to work, so he never came to my high school sports or anything like that. I didn't really play many recreational sports, so I loved it. He was always there on the weekend, but it wasn't like he was super involved in my life. Though I know he loved me. You know what I mean? He's German, so he doesn't have this great ability to communicate. Not that he didn't try, but I always knew he loved the Lord, and I always knew he loved me. And it's funny, as I got older, that relationship it's blossomed, you know, in regards. And the joy is to see him. He's a great, he calls him an opa, but he's great with the kids. Like, and I say, well, it wasn't really like that when I was a kid. But I think God has really worked in his life. But that example, and your kids see those things. It's the little things like that. You reading your Bible, you praying, you serving in church. And I don't want to get too much because we talked about that last night, but I wanted to give you that example that it's the little things they see. Husbands and wives. You know, unfortunately, some are in difficult situations, but if you're married, they see how you treat your wife. with kindness or affection or love. And Nathaniel, who's the smallest, he said the other day, "Do you want to play a game with me?" And I was like, "Well, no." He's like, "Oh, all you want to do is kiss mom." So I was like, "You got it. That's right." But we'll put on, you know, after dinner, I'll just jam the music out. Like, I'll turn up my little speakers as much as we can, and we'll dance and dance around. And I'll dance with Amy, but I want them to see that. You know what I mean? I want to see that I love my wife and I love them. But it's the little things, see? Or I've noticed I can't tell them, I can go do your chores, but I've noticed if I go start doing something, it's easier for them to do something. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this chore day, if I'm going to sit around and do nothing, they're going to be like, "Man, what's going on?" But if I do work on Saturday morning, then, yeah, okay, this is just what we do. And Saturdays is clean day. That's just the way it is. The charts are out in the morning. Amy usually writes them or I write them. They have 5 or 6 tasks, takes them an hour or two. That's just it. That's just Saturday morning. And that's what we do. We have to work. It's a busy house and everyone has to pitch in. But we can't be on a recliner and be like, "All right, go get them, kids." You know, we have to do our part too. And that's a little bit of the example. And we want them to know how to work hard, but we have to demonstrate that to them. So lead by example. Number 3, the question comes, something we've learned with church. You know, we almost had a little dilemma last night. Well, should we bring the kids here today? You know, everybody would like to see them. You're like, no. We don't want to force them. Sometimes Stefan's like, "Well, I don't have kids. Why would I come to that?" You know, like, that's crazy. But it's tough when you're involved in ministry or you're serving. How do I have home? I have ministry. And unfortunately, sometimes there are men involved in ministry who are never at home because of ministry. And that's wrong. I really believe that's not right. Sometimes, obviously, there is a separation. But one thing that we've learned is serve as a family. So God showed me, bring them into ministry as much as possible with you. And you say, "Well, how does that work?" Well, when I was at Cornerstone and I was serving here and on Saturdays, they didn't have anyone really to clean. So I was like, "Well, we could do that as a family." So we came in and we did stuff, and there'd be no one here. It'd be Saturday morning after men's. We had elders and then men's prayer, and then everyone would leave, and it was us and other family. The kids would be, I remember, they'd be running around on the stage and over there, and some would be cleaning bathrooms, some would be helping me vacuum. But we did it together. We tried to do it together. And I think this really clicked in when we moved to Canada, probably more so than here, that when we planted a church, they set up chairs. My one son, Caleb, does all the songs and all the computer stuff for the songs. Stefan did all the sound for years. Now he's serving, on kind of helping worship once in a while. Wednesday night, if they got to watch kids, they watch kids. But we have to be careful. We don't want to force them to do stuff, but we want to bring them in. So, hey, I got to go and do this. Let's all go together. Not all the time, because it's impossible. I can't take them to marriage counseling or to, you know, they're not going to get up there or teach or whatever, or do anything like that. But if it's like a task that I know they can be a part of, let's do it together. Now, I try to make it fun so there's not resentment down the line, like, "Oh, you made us do this and we had to go to church 7 times a week." But we tried, in a sense, to make it fun. And on Sunday morning, now I leave early, so who wants to go with me early? Because Amy comes later, because I have to go, and people set up, and we get ready. And so sometimes it's one who wants to go, sometimes it's 7 who wants to go. But whoever wants to go, let's go, right? We had people living in our home. Not only do we have 9 kids, but there were times when we'd have 2 or 3 young adults living at our home with us for 3 to 6 months. We had a girl living with us for 2 years who was 17. that was a ministry. That's a big part of our ministry. And it was really good, though, because there's a relationship that their kids are a part of these lives. And so often we've heard for those young adults who've become adults that we learned more from your kids than any Bible study you did, because they accepted us and they loved us. Because I had guys who were just clean for like 3 months, 3 years, who were crack, I don't suggest this, by the way, for you to do, who were crack or cocaine addicts who came to live with us, who'd been clean for a couple years. And they would come saying, everyone, they were through recovery saying, everyone thought we were like, you know, there was a stigma to them, right? Because they had failed. But my kids, Joy, she doesn't know who they are. And she's jumping up in their arms and they're like, but they sensed a love that they had never sensed in their life. But that was them kind of being a part of our ministry. There was a young ladies' discipleship house. And now it's funny because they all got married and some of them are having children. And, you know, they learned a little bit about how to raise a family because they saw Amy and what she did. And so the kids were a major part of our ministry. But I guess my encouragement is, don't make this separation. Well, here's ministry and here's my family, you know, and the two can't. Yeah, they can. And a lot of times they can come together. And it doesn't have to be a serious, it can be a lot of fun. Sometimes we think serving the Lord is, oh, it's all serious. No, it's fun. I remember the first service we ever had in Perth, and there was 4 people there other than my family. That's how we started, in the basement of like a wedding, Knights of Columbus Hall. And we didn't have kids ministry. What is kids ministry? They colored on the back table. Like, that's what we did. 4 people, and 2 of those people were my parents, who gave me a gimme visit from Ottawa. And it was another, and you know, we started, and we just, for the first 6 months, worship was children's courses, because the majority of the people were my kids. You know, Father Abraham, that's how I started church, you know, like, that's what we did. And I delivered the message. But the first time was so interesting because the kids were like, what are we doing here? Is this church? And we'd come from New Jersey a couple years earlier. And yeah, okay, we're starting this church. And okay, everyone. And then Caleb, church was over, 4 people left. And he looked at me or Amy and he said, who's coming for second service? We're like, second service? What are you, nuts? But bring them in with you. You know, and that can happen in your home. That can happen whatever you do, when you come to church, you know, like, it's an experience you do together. So that'd be my encouragement. Don't put this big wall in between your service for God and your family. They should work together, right? And Warren Wiersbe has a great quote. If you want a strong family, you really have to be a part of a strong church, you know, and a strong church is only made up of strong families. There is no separation, right? They are together. So number 4, making our way through here, is there's an older fellow in my fellowship now, and it's really neat. He's 83 now, but he got saved at 80. And that's a rare thing when someone gets, because they're pretty set in their way. But this guy, he lives with the fellow, and the other fellow got saved, and he started taking him to church, and he got saved. And we have prayer meeting Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning. And this guy never misses at 83 years old. And he was an English teacher. So when he prays stories and Shakespeare and everything and all that. But at first, I'd be talking about the kids and he'd start giving me advice. And I'm like, come on, man. You know. Then I started to listen to what he said. And he told me one thing, and I want to share it with you as my 4th point, and just a precious man in our life. His name's Ralph. But he told me, and it just really struck me, he said, unfold your kids, don't mold your kids. And I always thought that I had to make them into something, you know. I had to make them into super Christian boy Stefan or super Christian girl Abby. And he would say to me, they're all different. And he'd say to me, patience, patience, patience. And he'd say, unfold them. And he would be, each child is different. That's what he'd be telling me. And you can't mold them into what the Christian world thinks perfect little boy, little girl, little teenager should be. Because they are all wonderfully made. It says in Psalm 139, they're unique and they're wonderful and they're not all the same. And you have to roll with their personality and what God's doing in their life. And I want to bring them to God, but I can't just be like, okay, you're going to do this. And you can't control them to mold them. You have to unfold them and see what they're like. And one might not like these activities, and one might have gifts in another way, but you can't see them like that if you're always pushing them a certain way. And it was so neat when he said that, because it was almost like this light came on. Just let them be who God created them to be, and then direct them to the things of the Lord, right? Instead of saying, well, you need to be a preacher like your dad, or, you know, like you're going to be in ministry. Well, what if one has a real heart to be an engineer and just love God, or to be a plumber? Or an architect, you know. And I think sometimes we get this idea what our kids should be before we see what God created them to be. And I think spiritually it's important to come alongside them at that point to show them that God is the most important, but that he wants to use them in their gifts instead of trying to mold them in a way and then getting frustrated. Because I, you know, my boys, I'm praying that many will be called into the ministry, or some of the girls as missionaries. But I've learned I gotta step away from that completely. You know, I'll joke about it like, well, you know, you could be. And I had the strangest experience, because we do this homeschool co-op and we're setting up for church. And my two, they were doing a sound check with the mics, and all of a sudden Caleb started preaching up there. But it wasn't serious preaching. He was totally mocking me. And then he had Gabe, who was the 12-year-old, and they were going back and forth, and he's like, be quiet, my assistant Gabe, repent! You know, so it was, and they're like, Revelation says, you know, and I was like, oh Lord. But at that point, do I get all weirded out? No, just let them, you know. If we're always super serious and we never have fun and we never play, even with words with them, they're going to feel so confined and not being able to become who they are. And I think sometimes the Christian community is like, oh, it's got to be like this and da-da-da-da. No. Just let them, as you direct them to the Lord, let them be unfolded into what God has created them to be. Because you might have in there an electrician who loves Jesus. You might have a factory worker that's going to share his faith, you know, with so many people. And I think I know I failed in that way. And God showed me through my friend Ralph that they're uniquely and wonderfully made. And God knows what he wants them to be. And we're a part of the journey just to point them to Christ and unfold them. Right? So that was number four. Number five, which we talked about last night, I'm not going to spend too much time on this one, is just center everything on God's word. So, you know, just get the tape. Truth, 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 right? Teach it, live it, protect it, be creative in it, let it be all around your home. And, you know, with the devotions things, just a quote I heard the other day, you know, you're not looking to do devotions, Joe Foch says this, but you're looking to have devotion in your home with your kids. It just can't be, oh, we got to do this, check mark, we did it, yeah, hooray, we did our part today. No, but if you show a genuine love and desire to show them, but it has to be the center of what we do. Number six, follow, listen to the Holy Spirit. I can't emphasize this enough, because you're going to have decisions to make with each child. I mentioned that we have three different forms of education in our home. We have homeschool, we have kind of private co-op 3 days a week school, and we have one in public school. And you're like, Dan, how did you get there? And I think we're just trying to listen to God. Now, I hope in the end we've been listening correctly, because we question ourselves all the time. But even originally, we started with Stephen, and I was at Calvary Academy, and he started in school. And he went home every day crying. And this was first grade. And we're like, no, we're committed to this, and that's what it's going to be. And then I had my own office up there, and he'd come up crying, oh, I hate this, and so boring. You know, Amy had helped him in kindergarten, so I think he was way ahead. And then, little did I know, I called Amy, and he talked to Amy, so he felt a little better, you know. But she had prayed at the time, Lord, if you really want us to homeschool more, you just have to show me, because we're committed to this, and we don't want to be like, oh, he's crying, so we're taking him out. Her heart was like, you have to show us. And strange enough, his teacher called that night and suggested that we homeschool him. So we were like, well, okay, Lord, I think this is what. But that was kind of a leading of the Holy Spirit. And as I got older, we're like, oh, no, they're all supposed to be homeschooled. And then Stephen got in eighth grade, and he's like, I don't know, Dad, I might want to go to school. You're never going to school, you know. Satan lives in those schools. You're not going to school. Are you nuts? You're not going to school. And I remember yelling that. He's like, oh, I want to go to school. No. Dad, we're at one of those prayer meetings one morning, and I was really considering it, and I told the men I was praying with, and just prayer is so important, being led by the Holy Spirit. You really, and in praying with others, and there's a man there who never usually prays, and he just all of a sudden says, Dan, I just have the sense, just been praying for you, that you can't fear, and like Elijah's servant, you have to trust that God is there. Remember when Elijah's servant said, oh no, look at the enemy, and then Elijah showed him the fiery host of angels, and he quoted that, and he's like, you just have to trust God that he is bigger, and I believe that God basically is going to protect Stephen. Oh man, that was a prophecy, and all of a sudden, I got to follow the Spirit then, and because of my great, you know, there is fear, because it's homeschooled your whole life, and you're going to just throw him into public school, and there was this fear, but God showed, I believe, us through that prophecy that he would protect Stephen, because it was something on our heart and my heart. But with that, I had to follow them, because it was God's release, his Holy Spirit, which I believe really spoke, you know. And then you got to trust that. Now, it's not you manipulating it in your head sometimes, really confirmation through Scripture. And in both situations here, God showed us. And even the third one, because Caleb had gone on, and this is still a little bit of a struggle in our minds, but I really believe God spoke to us, because I got to Caleb, and I'm thinking about all the other kids, and I know God gave me a prophecy and Amy to protect Stephen, but what about the others? Are you going to show us what to do, Lord? And I was thinking, I always wanted to start a school, just call me crazy. I see the problems in Christian school, public school, and homeschooling. So I was like, I've got the solution right here. Right? Like, I'm going to create this facility or this idea that incorporates all three. I'm not going to put them in a bubble. I want them to serve, but I want to teach the main things. I want, you know, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic there. I want to teach those and disciple them. Because our discipleship program was closing, I said, I got all these kids, seven kids, now I can disciple teenagers, like with Mike and Lauren, because I'd had them when I taught them Bible for an hour a day, and to me, that was like discipleship, it wasn't Bible class. And I said, if I can do that, and then we can teach the core, and then we can have them go out in the community so they only go to school 3 days a week. In school, they waste time anyways, from what Stephen tells me, especially in 9th and 10th grade up in Canada. It gets a little tougher in 11th, 12th grade. But like, you don't need all that time in school anyway. So I had this idea, and you know, it's still a work in progress. But the first time I got the idea, I felt God say, wait, it's not time. Like, I really felt him say that. I pursued it a bit, it closed down. And then the next year, I was like, I sense I had a green light. And I said, well, if other people want to get involved with us, you know, that we don't have to do it alone, that will be God's green light. Another man in the church said, yeah, I'll administrate it. And we had other teachers kind of come on board. Because I never wanted to charge anything either. That's a crazy thing. private education charges so much. Like, I got this idea. I don't want them to have to pay, though. Well, that's, you know, now you're getting a little crazy. But that's what I sensed. But then I looked around the church and I was like, man, there's 7 retired teachers here, you know, and actually only one kind of, or two help out. But the idea, and then people started coming forward. And I felt that was God's leading of the Holy Spirit for the next group of kids. Now, we've had our, yeah, we're about to quit it a few times because Amy was teaching English, I was teaching Bible, we were running back and forth. But we said, Lord, if this is you, please could you bring more teachers? And he did. And he was faithful to do that. But I want to tell you that each kid in each situation, be led by the Holy Spirit, and it's not always going to be the same. And that's where the prayer and God's word comes in. And we want to follow what God's directing us. And God is amazing. And I believe he will show you, amen, as you follow his Spirit. And sometimes you'll have gray areas and you just got to pray for wisdom. Lord, what do you want to do? And sometimes even if you're following him, it might be like, oh, this isn't making sense, and they're complaining. But if you know God's spoken to you, just follow the Spirit. You know, and there's been times when you've been frustrated and how are we going to discipline and we don't know what to do. And we say, God, just show us. Please, Holy Spirit, just guide us in that. So I just really, really encourage you. The more I get in ministry, the more I see the power of the Holy Spirit. That is God on earth. You know, God is in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And he says, it's better that I sent the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to guide us in all truth. He's going to speak of Christ. He only speaks of Christ. And he's going to show us continually and direct us. I believe even in the little things of life. I want to abide so he's directing me each day as much as possible. And some days I'm like, God, when do you want me to go home? In regards to, because, you know, I can study at home or I can study in the church building. And I'll say, God, do you want me to go home today to study or stay home? I just want that guidance, and especially for my children, right? So follow the Holy Spirit. Be listening to his voice. Number 7, discipline. We know all the verses in the Proverbs, right? It's so interesting when Stefan gets frustrated because we're not being as active in our discipline. He pulled out the Proverbs and quoted them to us the other day. He's like, this is my favorite verse now. Like, you know, what are you guys doing? I got spanked for looking the wrong way and these kids are running this house rampant. What's going on here? And he's quoting the Proverbs. But for me, the biggest thing is consistency. And I struggle with it, and Amy's much better, but be consistent. At times you need to use corporal punishment? I do believe, yeah, but you need to talk about that, do timeouts, work for your kids. Each of our kids is different. We have kids who have strong will who would only respond to a spank. We have kids, if you look at them, they start crying, right? You don't have to spank them at all. If you're like, mommy's not happy, so you don't need to bring out like Mr. Big Spank Stick, which is illegal in Canada, obviously, but maybe not here, for a kid who's crying even at the thought that you're upset at him, right? So you have to know your children. Some kids I think we've spanked once or twice in our whole life, whereas Stefan got it like every day. And that was partly our problem, but it was partly he deserved it too because he had a strong will. But the big thing is whatever the method is that you're just consistent. You can't discipline one day and then the next day not for the same behavior. Or you can't speak to a child that it's wrong one day and not the next day. You just have to be consistent that this behavior is not acceptable in this house. And I struggle with that. Here's why. Because some days I'm tired. And I don't want to. And some days I'm lazy. You know, like, oh yeah, I talked to them about that yesterday. But they know if there's not consistency, even as teenagers to know, okay, to watch this is inappropriate because mom and dad have always said that. But you know, one day it is, one day it's not, one day it is, one day it's not. And they just get confused. But if you are consistent to say, this is, you know, through Scripture, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and there's consistency as you desire that, it's going to, are you going to make mistakes? Listen, you're going to make mistakes. Are you going to get tired? You better leave it. You're going to get tired. You know, with little kids, with teenagers. But as much as possible, just try to be consistent. Try to ask the Lord's help to be consistent. So that's number seven. And that's all actually I'm going to say on discipline. And, you know, just be consistent. And some people say, well, fathers should always do the discipline. The problem is fathers in the younger years are not home most of the time. So moms don't say, oh, wait till your dad gets home. Because then they're really confused because if they're 2-year-olds, they forget, what did I do wrong? Dad's home and I'm going to get whooped. What was that for again? Just, you know your kids, be consistent. And I think immediately following the incident is the best time in love. But if you're not consistent and you don't do it, sometimes that's when the anger gets in. And all of a sudden, if you're disciplining out of anger, which I've done plenty of times, that's not good. Because then it's not a teaching moment anymore. It's, oh, I should have dealt that. And now it's the fifth time and you're boiling over and you jump on your back and, you know, and drag. And we do all ours. I did it in the bathroom because we didn't want to attach to their bedroom or our bedroom. And then you're so angry at that point. And it never is beneficial to discipline when you're angry because you've lost sight of the reason. So just be consistent. Try to make it immediate with that. And you know what? We were way too weird in the first years. We had these expectations, which I'll get to in a moment, that we couldn't even adhere to. You know, and sometimes, oh yeah, yeah, they got to be like this and like that. Sometimes you just need to chill a bit. Right? Like, kids are kids. Like, boys are boys. Boys are just going to do dumb stuff and break stuff. And, you know, I got phone calls sometimes. Oh, Dad, I broke the window. Well, how'd you do that? Well, I was kind of playing golf in the front yard. And did you hit it with the ball? No, I didn't hit it with the ball. I hit it with the club. How'd you hit it with the club? Well, I was shooting the other way, and I was cooking hamburgers, and it slipped out of my hand. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, so instead of getting angry, well, you know, you're going to have to pay for some of that because, you know, you just don't golf and cook hamburgers at the same time. You got to learn. So, but, you know, and sometimes you realize, oh, I got angry in a way I shouldn't have. And, yeah, just grace. Number eight, and this is a big one that God's shown us, especially in Canada, use the body of Christ. Okay? Another older gentleman in my congregation has told me, and I've never forgotten, it's been so important to us. And how do you do it with 9 kids? Well, it's not just us. We have a fellowship that I believe is bringing up our kids. It takes a community to raise a child. You understand that? And you can put all this pressure on you, and God has meant for fellowship to edify and help one another. And I can't emphasize this as much as I can because church almost has become, or the body of Christ, a one-time or a two-time experience during the week. And in Acts it says, you know, they continued in, you know, the word or teaching in prayer, in breaking of bread, and in fellowship. But I think fellowship, koinonia, is communion with one another. And there are so many times that God has used people in our life to give us a break, even to speak to our children. There are some older people in the congregation where our kids are doing something dumb who look at them and say, what are you doing? You know, don't be running around. But in a loving way, that when we're in fellowship, we're invested in each other's children. Amen? And we've lost sight of that because church has become something different than I think it was meant to be. We're meant to be a community, a spiritual house built together, right? And for Amy and I, for our marriage and for our kids, it's been such a blessing. But there was one girl, it was her ministry, and I think for 5 years, every week she gave us a time to go for a walk or for a date, and she watched the kids for a couple hours. It would be every Tuesday. And that has become so important for our marriage. But I think it's been really important for the kids too. You know what I mean? That there's someone else kind of in their life, and older, young adults, different people, where mom and dad could get a break. But she just kind of felt like, this is what I'm going to do to help them. This is part of my ministry. And it was because we're a community. You know what I mean? And at church, we're a community. When I do baby dedications, I hold that baby up and I say, you know what? They're giving this child back to the Lord. But in doing this, we are called to help them. To hold that baby up and say to the congregation, this is a new one to us, and we are called to help in this role. We are a community, and this is a new child in our community. And so, for instance, we have a mother's group on every other Monday, and you know who watches the kids? The dads who can get there. I do it with the lady who leads it, her husband, he takes off work for that time just to watch the kids. Because again, it's a community. And it's important for the moms, right? Because they don't have the time. But I'm going to take this time because, and another dad who's off, he comes. But then I ask young adults who aren't doing anything. Not doing anything? Because it's gotten crazy a little bit lately. Like there's one week we had 16 kids like under 8, and some of them were screamers, man, and you want the moms to go, ah! So you got to hold this one, hold that one, hold that one, and the other run around pushing each other because they're two and biting each other, and then it's like they go for 2 hours, and then I start complaining in my heart, and then Amy will come down, oh, it's the best meeting, we got to pray for one another. Of course, then I feel guilty. I'm like, well, couldn't you make it a little shorter? It's 20 hours and 20 minutes, yeah. I already watched 3 Veggie Tales, and there's been a biting incident, and this 4-year-old pooped her pants. And but the idea is to help one another. And sometimes I think we think, well, that's our family's job. But I think God says we are a family, right? We are a family together. And we need to be raising each and other kids, because church isn't coming into a building for a service. Church is a community following Christ together. And we need to be, and it's difficult when you're so far away from each other, but have one another in your homes. Like, hospitality, kids getting to know one another, you helping or getting to know other kids, meaning you got to be getting together in some form with other believers at some time in some way. And that's a forgotten thing, but it is so, so important. My house is messy. I can't have anyone over. Listen, our house is messy all the time. But we have an open door policy. And is that hard? Sometimes it's hard. But the blessing to our family in the long run has been a major, major blessing. So number 8, use the body of Christ, fellowship. It takes a commitment from everyone to raise a child. Number 9, this is a big one in our life, and I talked about it a little bit. Err on grace. Expectations will kill your children. It will suffocate them. And we learned the hard way, as I mentioned, but if you're always correcting, always correcting. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done this. And, oh, you should. Well, you're not like this. And you could have been like this. And blah, 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 blah. Da, 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 da. And we didn't mean to be like that. But we just had this idea our kids should be like, well, you have a kid. Well, my child is, she's like, yeah, he's, whoa. And we had no grace. We had no sense that, like I said, they're going to make mistakes. And if I've found, actually, the best time to train a child is not when they're doing well, but it's when they fail. And you have to be gracious, and you have to be forgiving, and you have to be loving. And you look at the prodigal father there, as the son comes, he didn't give him a lecture when he came home.
I can't believe you wasted all my money, and what are you doing, like, hanging out with the pigs, and, you know, what about those ladies, and what, you know, then he came home, he ran, and it was all the grace. Praise the Lord, you're back, and you made the right decision. Encourage them in what they're doing well. Encourage them, encourage them, encourage them. Can I say it again? You know, two or three, when they do the right thing, they have to know it. They don't have to know every time they do the wrong thing. Are you encouraging them when they do the right thing? Because we can get in the mode like, all I'm doing is correcting my children. Are you truly encouraging and loving them? When I get to the fathers, I'm going to say, you know, don't exasperate your children. And that's God's command in Ephesians 6, because sometimes, and we were like, and we had these expectations. Sometimes we'll look at each other and we'll get upset, like as they're teenagers, and we're like, do you remember what we were like at 15? And you have such this desire for your kids, but just remember what you were like at a teenager. And remember your struggles. Don't you think you should have a little mercy and grace with them? And like the little boys, they're going to do little boy things. They're going to break things, right? And there's times in our life where we've had these expectations. There's a funny thing in our house. It seems every meal somebody spills something. And it always seems to be the same two people. See, the same person. Because she's just a real passionate girl, and everything she does is with passion. If she gets water, it's with passion. She's got to be the first to get the food, but when she's on the way to get the food, she doesn't see her glass, and poof. And the kids are like, oh, Lizzie, you spelled again. So you can be like, oh, Lizzie. We can be like, hey, it's okay. Just par for the course. Still love you. But I find sometimes my blood boils and God says, you know, not that you don't want to correct them and say, hey, come on, get a little self-control here. But things are going to happen. Golf clubs are going to go through the window. I can remember one time was holding his head and the other one came out of the woods with an axe. I was cutting a tree, I actually hit him in the head. One time Amy came home and one was chasing one with an iron pipe and had to lock him in the car to get the right story, like who did what, and engaged the third child. Now, what really happened? We've got phone calls that, no babysitter that night. There was a massive fight. They can't stop yelling. And yeah, stuff happens, right? And is it fun? No, but I'm just saying these expectations and these ideas that we put in our head that it's going to be no problem and they're going to be these perfect children, it's not right. And look how God deals with you and the love he has. Failure after failure and the love he has. Psalm 103, I mentioned that to the fathers, you know, it says, see how a father pities his child, and God knows your dust, your frame is dust. And I think he has grace towards us. And it's a great question for me and a reminder for me and for Amy today and for you as well. Do you have grace for your children? Show them grace. It doesn't mean that you're not teaching them the word or desiring that they should live a certain way. But I would just encourage you, err on grace. That's like, maybe that's a big one for the day, because I think that's our big lesson. Growing up in the church, we had this idea what they should be. Err on grace. Just love them. Number 10, and finally, just have fun. Enjoy the blessing. We can be so serious about raising children sometime, and then they get older, and we look back, and we're like, where did all the time go? And sometimes just put down, if you're homeschooler, put down the schoolwork. Sometimes if there's chores, just put them down. Sometimes if you have a little extra money in your saving, just go out for ice cream. You want them to know your home is fun and it's a blessing.
We have never had a lot of money to go on vacations. And I used to think, oh, vacation? I can't use that money for vacation. I, you know, we gotta serve the Lord. And we've never had a lot of money. And I remember as a teacher, people talk about Disney World. Disney World, I can't go to Disney World. What are you nuts? I can't go to Disney World. I'll never go to Disney World. I can hardly pay the bills. And, you know, God called us to Canada, and we've only been there 9 years, and we've been to Disney World 4 times. And haven't really paid once. But even I remember the one time where people had given us money and we were in Orlando and I was thinking, should we go? Should we not? We need a new vacuum. The dishwasher's on the fritz. There's bills at home. And I just remember that idea of being led by the Spirit. Your kids aren't going to be this age again. Just go have fun with them. I'll take care of the vacuum. They can pick at the stuff up with their fingers. No, God provided the vacuum eventually, and we've never had a lot. And that was a big thing, because I was thinking, God, we could use that money for this and that and the other. It was like, no. And they still talk about those trips. And, you know, we just do, okay, we don't have a lot of money, and we want to go to amusement parks for stuff. So we go pick strawberries together. So we do. We have a farmer in our congregation, he has strawberries. He goes, I'll give you $3 a basket. Well, 11 people can pick a lot of baskets. Our record is 80 in one day. And we've only been there for 3.5 hours. Let's pick. There's Joy, 4 years old. Don't eat them. Let's go. No, just kidding. This is for Darian Lake. Come on, get busy. But the idea is then, you know, you're preparing to do something fun. Or, you know, we could do this and we're blessed. My parents kind of have a cottage down the road and in a motorboat. Like, we're not, okay, we're just going to go. We're just going to, there's a lot of stuff we can do this afternoon, but we're just going to go and we're going to have fun doing this. And make your home fun, like I said, as much as you can. And sometimes there's serious moments, but have fun. Dance with them, you know. If we watch a movie, I don't really like movies, but sometimes I feel the Lord saying, just go downstairs and sit beside him. And I don't do it often, but there's sometimes I do hear that, but like they're watching Frozen or something. I'm like, oh boy, Disney girl movie. I'm not really. Just go sit with the girls and fall asleep down there because they like it and they enjoy it. You know what I mean? And sometimes Amy's playing games out in the yard with them, and I'm not good at board games and stuff. You can pray for me in that. Oh, no, I don't want to win a board game. All they do is fight and argue, and they're so competitive. Must get it from their mother anyways. But she'd be playing, like, some form of baseball with a Nerf ball, and I'm thinking, I don't really want to do that right now. Let's just go out there. Let's, you know, play with them, and, you know, and we'll play soccer together. We have enough people, so we bought these nets and we'll play 5 or 6 on 6, and you know, people go by our house and be like, oh, I saw your whole family out playing soccer or playing knockout with the basketball. Just at times, not all the time, they have to know that they are a blessing and fun. And when they're little, that's where I'm not good, and there's not a lot of things you can do, but you could just get on the floor and wrestle around with them and play with them and enjoy them. Because then when it comes to the chore day, you know, and even sometimes when I introduce the chores, I try and make a big act out of it and fun. And your chores today are, you get to collect dog poop in the backyard. Yeah! Oh, Dad. But I think if they know somewhat, and I'm not saying we're perfect with this and we have a long way to go, that it is a fun home when the serious stuff comes. They think of that stuff and they have the memories and they see God's provision. Like, you're teaching them about this because they know, oh, we don't really have any money to go anywhere and we pick strawberries for some things. But, you know, this year when we went to Florida, we were thinking, we can't go to Disney World. And I knew one person down there, and we went to his church, and he emailed me in the middle of the week, I just happened to find 12 free tickets to Disney World. I was like, praise the Lord, $1,200. That was the sweetest trip I ever went to the Magic Kingdom, because that was like, some of them were free, but that was really free to me. And it was just a sense, because the kids are older, where I had just seen God's graciousness before, this time they saw God's graciousness. you know, and it was just really, really neat. And you don't have to necessarily go there. I'm just saying it can be in the home. And if they are a blessing, you have to treat them as a blessing, because sometimes we get tired and sometimes we get worried. And sometimes our only way to react is to correct and create this stuff. But God has, they're meant to be a blessing. And we need to treat them as a blessing. And it's meant to be fun. And it's going to be hard times, there is. And we know that. It doesn't matter any stage, it's going to be hard. But let's look for what God's doing in it. Communicate. This is the bonus PS. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Keep talking to them. Keep loving them. Amen. So